Well, good morning. I am so glad to see that you remembered to spring forward and set your clocks. I know that means that some of you are going to be falling asleep a little earlier in the message than normal, but I'll do my best to keep you awake. We're so glad that you're here, especially if you are a guest. Maybe this is your first time with us, or you're tuning in online for the first time. We want you to know that we are so glad that you are here, and I think you will be too. We are in the second part of a series we're calling Unshakable Hope, because after all, who couldn't use a little more hope? I realize that maybe this is the first time that some of you have been with us, so I want to catch you up. Actually, what I'd like to do is I'd like to enlist some of my close friends to catch you up. We have a declaration of hope. If you've been with us, you know how to do this. You need to sit up straight so that you can fill your lungs with air and your hearts with hope. Why? Because somebody around you may need this encouragement. So, let's declare this together. We are building our lives on the promises of God. Because His word is unbreakable, our hope is unshakable. We do not stand on the problems of life or the pain in life. We stand on the great and precious promises of God. And so, Father, we thank You for the great and precious promises that You have given to us. We thank You that You are not only a promise maker, but You are a promise keeper. You have never broken Your word to us. Father, we thank You that we can come before You now to open Your word. Father, we want to see You more clearly than we have before. We want to hear You more clearly than we have in the past. Father, we want to hear especially what it is that You would have for us to hear. And Father, I know that You know every heart in this room listening online. You know every heart that is broken. You know every heart that is full of joy. You know every heart that is searching. So, Father, would You speak to us? In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, the lion was especially proud of his mastery of the animal kingdom. He liked to express to them over and over how proud he was. One particular day, he swaggered past the small animals to the bear, and he said to the bear, "Who is the king of the jungle?" The bear said, "You are the king of the jungle." The lion roared with approval. Then he swaggered on towards the tiger, and he said to the tiger, "Who is the king of the jungle?" The tiger said, "Well, everybody around here knows that you and only you are the king of the jungle." Well, the lion roared even louder with approval so that the entire animal kingdom could hear him. He walks directly up to the elephant and he asks the elephant, "Who is the king of the jungle?" And the elephant reached down and grabbed the lion with his trunk and picked him up in the air, twirled him around five or six times, and then pounded him in the ground over and over and over, took him over to the lake and dunked him in the water, and then threw him up on the shoreline. The lion, beaten, battered, and bruised, and bloodied, staggered to his feet. And he said, "Elephant, just because you don't know the answer doesn't mean you have to get so upset." Who doesn't want to be the king or the queen of their kingdom? We like this idea. Now, I'm not talking about robes and crowns and castles. I'm talking about the way the Bible talks about kingdom. It actually comes from the Greek word basileia. It means rule or reign. It means that there is some dominion, there is some sphere where my will is effective, where what I say goes. We like the idea of kingdom. Sometimes I have to remind my children of this. Every time they get into my vehicle, they want to plug in their iPod and bless me with their music. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes I have to remind them, my kingdom. As small as it may be, this is the space, this is the realm, this is the dominion where what I say goes. We like this idea, don't we? Dallas Willard and John Ortberg have been very influential in my thinking on kingdom over the years. John talks about how our fascination with kingdom begins at a very early age. Let me ask you this. What is a two-year-old's favorite word? No. Followed by a close second, mine. We have no, we have mine. Sometimes seems like the only two words that they need, but that is kingdom language. And it starts at a very early age. You have seen this play out. One child has a toy, and the child is very content and happy with the toy that it has. Until it sees the other child that has a different toy, and now this child who was so content now sees that child with the toy and now wants what the other child has. And then all of a sudden, envy sets in, chaos ensues. It is in fact the law of the jungle. I think this is a pretty good picture of what it looks like when we build earthly kingdoms, defined by chaos, survival of the fittest, every man for himself. We grow up, well, we get older, and the game doesn't change all that much. But for all of its pitfalls, we still like the idea of our own kingdom. You know the narrative. My will be done. My will, my truth. I am free because I am, well, whoever I say I am. I'll build my kingdom, you build yours. It sounds so freeing, doesn't it? And it fits nicely in a society that is self-absorbed, self-centered, self-admiring, self-obsessing. But there are just a few problems with the logic. You see, the thing about earthly kingdoms is that they are by nature exclusive. If you want to be a part of my kingdom, then you had better bring something of value to the table. These kingdoms by nature are also very fragile. Because, see, it's about my will, my truth, and I need you to validate my truth constantly. But these kingdoms are also chaotic. You see, my kingdom that I'm building may clash with the kingdom that you're building, and when that happens, I need you to align to my truth. And the truth is, you're not likely to do that. So what does that do to community between you and I? It destroys it. What if I were to tell you that there is another option? What if I were to tell you that there is another kingdom? An unseen kingdom. One that is almost like a parallel universe that is just tracking right alongside of everything that we see. And although unseen, it is just as real. A kingdom that is not exclusive because it's open for all, regardless of who you are, where you've been, or what you've done. A kingdom that's not fragile because its truth needs no validation. A kingdom that is not chaotic because it is ordered by truth and justice. A kingdom where community flourishes. Why? Because it is ruled by a king who is ruled by love and peace. I have to ask you, would you like to live in a kingdom like that? Well, you can. You can because there is such a kingdom. You can because there is such a king. The king's name is Jesus. And one of his favorite topics to talk about, every time he had an opportunity to teach, many times this topic came up, and it was the kingdom of God. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn them to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse 25. If you would, please be standing just in honor of the reading of God's word. I want you to listen to this text as I read it to you. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, well, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And all those who received this word said, amen. Amen. Be seated, please. This part of Scripture is what has become known as the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching on a beautiful hillside that overlooks the Sea of Galilee. If you were there this time of year, it is covered in mustard seeds and lilies. He was teaching primarily to a Jewish audience. And don't you know that when he started talking about kingdom, they perked up. Why? Because that's what they were waiting for. They were expecting a kingdom. It was a physical kingdom, but they knew what it looked like. They knew how to recognize this kingdom. This kingdom that they were waiting for would be defined by overthrowing the oppression of Roman rule and reign. A descendant of David would be seated on the throne. The temple would be rebuilt. They were waiting for a kingdom. Jesus wasn't the only one talking about kingdom in the hills of Galilee. Rumors of rebellion against Rome were rampant. You see, kingdom was a dangerous idea in Jesus' day. Yet he is talking about kingdom. Now, it's not the kingdom that they were expecting. But God's expansion of his rule and reign was standing right there in front of them. And as he taught, he gave them this command and he gave them this comfort. Number one, he taught his disciples, pursue first the kingdom. I want you to listen to this from a different version, Matthew 6, verse 33. It says, "But above all, pursue his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well." I can't help but think that Jesus was teaching his followers, and he had a memory in the back of his mind that was so fresh. Because if we just flip a few pages back to Matthew 4, we find that Jesus has been led into the wilderness by the Spirit. There he is being tempted by the devil himself. And do you remember the last-ditch effort of Satan to tempt Jesus? After two tries had failed, he takes Jesus up on a very high mountain. And Matthew 4, verse 8 tells us that he took him up on this high mountain. Why? To show him all the what? Kingdoms of the world and all their glory. The devil says to Jesus, "You can have all these. Just fall down and worship me." As Jesus is teaching on this hillside, I wonder if he had that in his memory. I wonder if he thought, you know, if the devil's going to tempt me in that way, it won't be long. And he'll be up to his old tricks and he's going to be tempting my followers in the same way. Haven't you experienced that? Haven't you experienced that voice that says, go ahead, build for yourself. Live for today. You see, the enemy is not so concerned with us being defiant against God. He would merely settle for distraction. Oh, and we can become so distracted so easily. This kingdom that they were expecting, it wasn't like it was some worldly, secular, heathen kingdom. No, it was one of the religious nature. We can become distracted. You say, well, how do I know? How do I know if I am pursuing the kingdom first? Well, let me give you just a couple ways. I can only tell you how I try to keep myself in check. And one way is the checkbook. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I think we can look at where our money is going and it will tell us what we are seeking first. But that's not the only place. The second place is my calendar. I can go to my calendar. I can see where I am spending my other treasure, my time and my energy. Jesus taught his followers to pursue first the kingdom. But he also taught them to pray first for the kingdom. There in Matthew 6, or when he was teaching them how to pray, he said, and this is the way that I want you to pray then, in this way, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is inviting his followers to pray kingdom prayers. A kingdom prayer is one that invites God's rule and reign, his dominion to rule in our hearts, to rule on the earth. Now, this is not the way that I always prayed. For a long time, I had a very individualistic view of salvation. It was about me. I was responsible for myself. I had to take care of my sin and my salvation. And so I prayed prayers like this. God, get me up there. But that's not the prayer that Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray. The prayer is not, God, get me up there. It is, God, may up there come down here. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I came across this poem that was actually written by one of our elders, Jim Barker. You had no idea that our elders were so multi-talented, did you? Listen to this poem. I love this. He says, good Father, why would I not fully give myself to thee, when thy good will it was to give thy Son for me? His life, his death, his sacrifice, his ransom for my sin, that I might have thee, O God, thy holy life within. O gracious God, I gladly give, my all I give to thee, asking thee, good Father, thy will be done in me, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, here and now. Begin with me, O great King, it is to thee I bow. I bow to thee, beseeching thee, thy spirit to employ, to make my life a fruitful life for others to enjoy. So others taste thy bounty, fruits born of thee, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. O God, begin with me. Church, what difference would it make in this world, here and now, if you and I began to pray and live out the prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and begin with me? I believe Jesus has commanded us to pursue first the kingdom, to pray first for the kingdom. But third, I believe this leads us to participate first in the kingdom. I want you to listen to this. This is a paraphrase from the Message found in Luke 17. But listen to what it says. Jesus, grilled by the Pharisees on when the kingdom of God would come, answered, "The kingdom of God doesn't come by counting the days on the calendar, nor when someone says, 'Look here,' or 'There it is.' And why? Because God's kingdom is already among you." They just couldn't see it. The Pharisees could not see that the kingdom, the expansion of God's rule and reign, was standing right in front of them. They were so distracted by the kingdom that they wanted to see built that they missed him standing right in front of him. But if they would have looked a little closer, they would have seen it. And you and I can too. When someone hurts you, and everything within you wants to hurt them back, but you don't, you are seeing the unseen kingdom of heaven come to earth. When the lady came to sit down in my office and visit with me and said, "I've never done this before, but I just sold my home and I'd like to give a portion of the proceeds to the kingdom work here. I would just spend it all myself anyway." That kind of sacrificial giving, you're seeing the unseen kingdom of heaven coming to earth. When the family who had every reason not to adopt told me, "We're selling what we have because the way we figure it, it's not about us. It's about a child's eternity." I got to tell you, after that conversation, I was wondering if I was even a Christian. But I can tell you this, I was seeing the unseen kingdom of heaven coming to earth. When a spouse is patient and loving to a spouse who is sometimes unlovable, you're seeing the unseen kingdom of heaven come to earth. When a workaholic parent decides to spend less time at home and more time with the family. When an addict finds a loving community to walk alongside them to finally break the chains of addiction. When someone who is lonely gets included. When someone serves at their church or in their community. When someone gives to someone who has no way, absolutely no way, to give anything back in return. When a man who could retire, ride off into the sunset, maybe write a book or two, instead decides to step back into the role of senior minister because the sheep need a shepherd. When a king, a real king, with real power and real authority, lays down a heavenly crown to come to earth, to pick up a towel and put it around his waist and wash people's feet and humble himself even to death on a cross. You're not seeing something of this world. You're seeing what it looks like to live in the unseen kingdom of heaven as it comes to earth. It is not flashy. It is not something you're likely to see in a social media post or a news story. But it is just as real. Even more real. Unseen, yes. But very real. And it's open to all. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is good news." Why is it good news? Because it is open to all, regardless of who you are, where you've been, or what you've done. This kingdom is open to all. And how tragic it would be. What a tragic tragedy it would be for us to spend this life, this one life that is as short as a breath, on anything less than what is eternal, than what will last forever. We can build earthly kingdoms, but it's like a child building a sand castle on the shoreline. The tide is coming. This is why Jesus encourages his followers. Not because he wants something from them, but because he knows this is something for them. Because he wants them to be able to invest in things that last forever. And so he says to them, pursue first the kingdom. Pray first for the kingdom. And participate first in the kingdom. And the promise, Jesus says, I'll take care of all the rest. And all those who agreed said, amen. Amen. Father, we are thankful and grateful to you that you would cover us with these promises, that you would give us these promises that we could stand on, that would be a firm ground, a rock underneath our feet, to be able to trust in you. And Father, it really is a matter of trust. To let go of the things in this world that we could build on our own, to embrace the things that you have for us. Father, would you give us the courage to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, and allow you to fulfill the promise that you would add all these other things as we need them. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.